Good afternoon. Today I would like to take the opportunity to discuss internet-wide scanning, both what internet-wide scanning is currently taking place in 2014, and also what are defenders doing in reactions to internet-wide scanning. Last year at USENIX Security, we released ZMAP. ZMAP was a network scanner that was capable of scanning the entire IPv4 address range in approximately 45 minutes. And internet-wide scanning appears to be really useful. There have been 15 studies in the last year that have used ZMAP as the basis of their data collection. So as researchers, we're able to learn new things based on this internet-wide scanning. But at the same time, after we released ZMAP, we noticed an uptick in the scanning activity on the internet in general. This happened after the talk, and again, another talk in December. And we wondered, who is actually using ZMAP? Did ZMAP change the scanning landscape drastically? Are internet operators now blocking internet-wide scans? Are there attackers using it, or is it mostly just academic researchers? Today, I would like to talk about three aspects of scanning. The first is, what does the scanning landscape look like now in 2014? There have been previous studies 5 to 10 years ago, but the internet has changed since then. So how is scanning? Second, I'd like to look at three case studies. What scanning was triggered by recent events in Heartbleed, in vulnerabilities in Linksys routers, and in NTP open resolvers? And last, what are the defensive reactions of network operators? Are network operators blocking internet-wide scans, just the malicious ones? What about academic researchers? Is this research methodology still sound? So the first question is, well, how do you detect internet-wide scanning? And we choose to look at this by examining data from a large network telescope. And this has been used many times in the past within our community. There's a lot of previous work by Savage, by Paxson, by Wistrow, to look at what scanning is taking place, what just general background radiation is there, what packets do you receive just by sitting out on the internet. And we collected background radiation from a large network telescope at Merritt Network during 2013 and 2014 to look at what scanning is taking place. And there are no hosts or services on this darknet, so any scans that we see are likely part of very large internet-wide scans. They're not targeted. They're not targeted at a specific institution. And we go through this data linearly and process the data. And in order to estimate what scans are actually taking place, what coverage there is, we assume that packets we receive are part of large internet-wide scans where scan targets are ordered by a random normal distribution. Looking at this data, we see most of the scanning is taking place using some randomization function. And then we're able to estimate the coverage and scan using the normal distribution. The second question that comes up is, well, how do we define a scan? There are many different definitions on this, and it's a somewhat study-specific decision as to what we decide a scan is. And we decide to look at scans that are large internet-wide scans. So these are scans that are targeting a single protocol or a single port. They're scans looking for more, maybe every HTTP server, every NTP server. From a single set of IP addresses that are contiguous within the same AS, that are scanning at an estimated rate of 10 packets per second, and reach at least 100 hosts in our darknet, which estimates about 1/500th of 1% of the IPv4 address range. We similarly go through and we fingerprint recently released open source scanners, including ZMAP and MassScan, and we find that the IP ID in both cases were able to fingerprint in order to detect whether ProPack has originated from one of these two scanners. So applying this methodology, we find that our darknet receives approximately 1.4 billion packets or 55 gigabytes of traffic per day. And out of this, we're able to retrieve approximately 10.8 million scans originating from almost 2 million hosts. So what's the first thing that you see when you look at this data? Well, the first thing that you see is that traffic to port 445 overshadows everything. And this is traffic that's due to Conficker. And it's still almost 50% of all scan traffic that you receive, all probes that you receive, are still due to Conficker infections. But when we remove Conficker, we start to see a little bit different picture. And the first thing you notice is that almost every protocol receives traffic. This goes out for quite a ways. And a lot of the protocols we see probably don't surprise us. We see protocols that we often associate with vulnerability probing. We see SSH probes. We see remote desktop probes, Microsoft SQL Server, PC Anywhere, VNC. But when you start to look at this traffic more, one thing that you do notice is that a large amount of this probe traffic actually originates from large scans. And in different protocols, this varies a different amount. But if we look at, for example, SSH, we see that the vast majority of scan traffic actually originates from scans of between 10 and 100% of the IPv4 address space. And looking at all scan traffic, we find that almost 80% of probe traffic that you receive by sitting out on the internet is actually due from scans that target more than 1% of the IPv4 address space. And just over 60% of traffic is from scans targeting more than 10% of the address space. So when you as a network operator see incoming probes, they're most likely part of a large internet-wide scan. Now, while that seems like a lot of data to go through, it turns out that the number of scans that actually address this amount of address space are quite small. In fact, less than 20,000 scans target more than 1% of the address space, and less than 3,000 of these scans targeted more than 10% of the address space. So while there's a huge number of small scans, the large scans that affect everybody, there's actually quite a small number. And further, only about 100 AESs are responsible for 85% of this traffic, which lets us start to look at where these scans actually originating from. So when we start to dive into this, the first four types of scans that really stand out, these are the hosts that are generating the most traffic on the internet, are academic and industry security research groups. Second, we see a large number of regularly scheduled scans coming from unidentifiable hosts, in China. Large number of scans are coming from these large bulletproof hosting providers. And lastly, from the Shodan HQ search engine, which is a search engine that allows users to search for banners that are available on different hosts and services. So within the first category, it turns out that many of the networks responsible for the most scan traffic are actually academic institutions. And many of these are focused on amplification attacks. We're looking for open NTP resolvers, for DNS resolvers, and also customers who are looking at SSH, HTTPS, other cryptographic ecosystems where we're interested in the keys and the services being offered. And in almost all of these cases, these studies are being conducted responsibly. People are going to the effort to put out a website that explains their scanning. They're allowing users to opt out of their scanning. They're explaining what the purpose is, what they're trying to accomplish from these scans. Second, we have the second category of regular Chinese scans. And these are somewhat vague because there's no information about these hosts. These are from these large Chinese AESs. There's no information on any of the hosts, and all the AESs are quite generic. But we find that there are regular daily scans of ICMP, of SSH, of SQL Server, and in a lot of cases, this actually makes up for the majority of the traffic that reaches, that targets these different protocols, all comes from China. And in one particular case, almost all of the traffic that is targeted to TCP port zero comes from China. And if you look at the RFC, TCP port zero is actually not a valid port. There are no services that can be hosted on it. And firewalls don't necessarily know what to do with the traffic because it's not part of the specification. And because of this, it's able to be used to fingerprint different network stacks, and also because some firewalls let it through because it doesn't fall within any set of rules. But in the end, they're responsible for the majority of the traffic that we see towards these services associated with vulnerabilities. In the third category, almost 50% of the AESs responsible for scan traffic were large hosting providers. These are different groups. Some of these, the first one you see is Alcatel Network, which you might remember a couple years back is the network that Hurricane Electric stopped peering with due to malware hosting and due to the spam they're sending out. But you also see other hosting providers that we might use more often that you might recognize in the US. But a large number of these are these large bulletproof hosting providers. And these are providers, when you go and you look at the website, they say, we don't respond to blackmail from the government. We accept Bitcoin. We accept anonymous payments. There's no questions asked about the network traffic that you send out. We're not going to remove you as a customer if you're doing something malicious. And they'll actually advertise that they're there for this process. And so they're essentially advertising that they'll turn a blind eye to any malicious behavior that's coming out of their AS. And unfortunately, despite the fact that there's a small number of ASs, there's very rarely any identifiable information about owners on these hosts. So that's a very broad landscape. And really what we see is that there's a huge number of services being scanned. Large amounts coming from small hosts, but it doesn't necessarily tell us what's happening on a daily basis. In order to look at that, we'd like to look at a couple of case studies. The first is a backdoor that was released in Linksys routers. And this was released in 2013 on December 30th. And essentially, it was a backdoor that allowed full remote administrative access to anyone who connected on TCP port 32.764. And this is a high ephemeral port that really nobody scanned for before. There aren't services that are commonly hosted on this port. And so it allowed us to see what was the uptake in scan activity that was actually due to people scanning for this particular vulnerability. And previously, there was negligible traffic. But you can see after December 30th, when it's released, traffic spikes within about a day, within the 31st, we see kind of that first spike. And by the 2nd of January, we actually see a spike in traffic that's almost up to 99 gigabytes of traffic per day. And we remain around that average through the remainder of the month. Now, what's even more surprising here is that all of the non-Shodan scans actually originated using ZMAP or MassScan. These probes were all part of very large internet-wide scans, and 98% of all probe traffic was actually from these large bulletproof hosting providers. Only 5 of the hosts that were scanning for this were part of recognizable institutions, were part of academic institutions, or security consultants. The remainder were all from these large bulletproof hosting providers. In the second case, we look at OpenNTP resolvers. And people, we might look at this because NTP has started to be used for large DDoS attacks, used to essentially amplify traffic. And we find a very similar situation. There's a large number of scans that are happening from these large bulletproof hosting providers, and 97% of the scan traffic is part of these large scans of more than 1% of the internet of the IPv4 address space. And fewer use ZMAP or MassScan, but this also occurred a little bit earlier. And we kind of come to the same problem where we have all these scans taking place from bulletproof hosting providers, but it's not necessarily clear who owns these hosts. Maybe they are academics that are using bulletproof hosting providers because they can't scan from their network, or they're malicious actors. It's hard to tell. But what we do find is all indications that these are not academic researchers. These are not responsible individuals. If we look at the hosts that happen to be used for NTP scanning, they are hosting websites that explain how to essentially create yourself an own your own drone for dropping bombs or for the website rape. And I think we'd all find it quite hard to believe that these are academic researchers. In the third, in the case of the Heartbleed vulnerability that hopefully all of us are familiar with, we see yet again the same situation. 95% of the scan traffic that has started after the Heartbleed vulnerability started, we're looking at hosts that started for scanning HTTPS for the first time after the vulnerability was released, use ZMAP or MassScan. And in this case, less of the scanning took place from bulletproof hosting providers, still a large amount of it, but almost 40% of the scan traffic actually originated from China, but was still using ZMAP or MassScan. And we kind of see this split picture here, because we do see malicious actors who have gone out and have used ZMAP to look for vulnerable hosts. But at the same time, a large amount of this traffic is actually due to academics who are going out and looking for vulnerable hosts, who are notifying different parties that were vulnerable, or security consultants who are trying to understand what was the impact of Heartbleed, what actually happened. And we have a little bit more information about this that we will be releasing at IMC 2014. So in the end, what about ZMAP? We started with this picture of, well, did ZMAP change the scanning landscape? And what we find is that the vast majority of scan traffic is not from ZMAP. But in the case studies we looked at, attackers are starting to take advantage of these large hosts, of these large scanners, ZMAP and MassScan, from these large bulletproof hosting providers. So ultimately, it does lower the barrier of entry for both academic researchers and for attackers, and both have started to take advantage of this. Lastly, so we know that both attackers and defenders are using ZMAP, but how do network operators respond? And our first question was, well, do networks drop the scan traffic? These scans are coming from a single IP address. They should be trivial to detect, to notice, to block. Are people actually looking for these scans? Or are they blocking them? In order to look for this, we decided to look at our own AS. We do a large amount of scanning from the University of Michigan. Much of this focuses on the HTTPS ecosystem, but we've scanned a plethora of protocols over the last several years. And so we decided to compare what hosts could we access or not access compared to a network that had never been used for scanning. So we performed simultaneous scans from our network at the University of Michigan, which has been used constantly for scanning, and from a virgin subnet at Georgia Tech that's never been used for any sort of external probing. And what we find is that only approximately 0.05% of the IPv4 address space is actually inaccessible to our scanning, to our subnet. The number of organizations is actually quite minuscule compared to the entire IPv4 address space. If we look at the same question, who has requested exclusion from our scans, it's a similarly small number. Only approximately 200 organizations have requested exclusion, which is only approximately 0.15% of the IPv4 address space. So the number of people dropping scans is tiny. It doesn't have impact on these large internet-wide scans, or if it does, it has a very minuscule impact. But we continued to look at this, and we wondered, well, how are people finding our scans? We continued to receive exclusion requests years after we started scanning one. I actually received one this morning that said, We'd like you to exclude our network. And we wondered, well, we started these scans 2.5 years ago now. Why are you noticing now? Or did most people notice in the beginning? We expected this to plateau. We expected people who are watching to notice in that first week that scanning had started. They would request exclusion, or they would block us, and that would plateau. And we find the exact opposite to be true. We actually find that this has continued to grow over the last several years. And we start to wonder, well, how are organizations noticing? Why is it that an organization notices our scanning 2 years after we started? And we go through the emails that we received, and we notice that a lot of the people actually who request exclusion haven't noticed because of firewall logs or from IDS logs. If we look at the evidence that was copy and pasted into the emails we received, 22% of these were actually from Apache logs. People went to essentially troubleshoot a different problem, and they saw this GET request in their Apache log, and they said, well, who is this IP address? Why are they connecting to me? Or this must have caused the problem. We received this request at the same time our web server stopped working. And they make this association. And in the second case, a large number of the requests we receive are actually because people are running services on the wrong port. Our scanning looks malformed because we're trying to make an HTTP request, someone who's running an SSH server on port 443, and this appears weird to them. So what does this mean? In terms of future work, there's clearly a disconnect between the academic researchers and network operators. Really, we'd hope for no scanning to take place. This could potentially have other adverse effects. In terms of HTTP, we have access to robots.txt. We're able to communicate whether I want my website skipped. No such exclusion standard exists for scanning. Our community likely needs to develop one. Second, we need to understand these defensive reactions. Why are people not blocking this traffic? A lot of it is likely malicious, but people are ignoring it. Is it because it's not a problem? Is it because they're not noticing at all? In terms of finding scanners, we looked at large internet-wide scans. There's also the large question of maybe there are small scans that were missed by our methodology. If people are scanning at less than 10 packets per second, they're using very, very large distributed scans. We may not be able to see them. There's been a lot of work in the theoretic to how to detect these scans, but little bit's really been applied to actually look at what scanning is taking place. And last, in a lot of these cases, we don't know the intent of these scanners. In conclusion, the scanning landscape has changed. We see a large number of users who are now using these large internet-wide scanners from bulletproof hosting providers. In the case of the three case studies we saw, people are starting within 24 hours to do large internet-wide scan vulnerability scans. At the same time, network operators have been slow to respond, despite the fact that it would be easy to notice a very small number are blocking our traffic. On one hand, that paints a fairly dismal picture of the defensive scene. At the same time, it means that internet-wide scanning remains a useful and sound methodology for our community. Questions?
Hi, Bill Cheswick here. I love the idea of shunning. Do you have a list of the bulletproof providers' ASs that you might be willing to release?
So we do have a list, but we again come down to this question of we do not necessarily know the intent. Some of these could be academics that are using these bulletproof hosting providers. Some are likely malicious. So while we can give a list, it's hard to tell which ones are actually the ones we should be shunning.
I'm willing to punish the people who are hiding and let them come out from some place that's a little more accessible.
There's a list in the paper.
Hi, I had two methodological questions. Sure. The first was, I couldn't follow, how did you determine how broadly global a given scan was?
So we essentially looked at the we assumed a normal distribution of
normal on what?
That you are scanning using a random normal distribution. So if we saw a certain number of packets, we assumed this was part, you are scanning at random the entire public IPv4 address space.
I still don't know what you mean by normal, though, because if I were to scan something big, then either I'm going to make a schedule and work through it, perhaps randomly, or I'm going to random uniform over it, but I don't see what would be normal.
So I'm assuming that you scan all hosts in terms of some random distribution. You scan each host once according to some random ordering that you have.
That would be then you have a schedule.
Yes.
All right, so there's not a Gaussian anything.
So we do based on the timing because we have to estimate when your scan began and ended. And so based on we see that first packet and the last packet, we estimate at that point.
Okay. I mean, we looked at some of this in our situational awareness paper a while ago. I don't know if that's part of what you looked at or not.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard problem. The other thing I just want to comment on methodology for deciding that nobody blocks. I certainly know of sites that will block, but they do it ephemerally. They'll block you for a few hours. And so if you didn't already do it, it would be great to scan and scan again and see what changes over a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. We didn't do that. That being said, we scanned every single day from that subnet. And so if it's just blocked for a day, we would have seen it. It would only have been if you blocked for a matter of minutes or an hour.
Where I'm familiar with this at Lawrence Berkeley Lab, it often will just be hours.
Okay.
Because they're blocking tens of thousands of addresses.
So in that case, it doesn't necessarily affect your research methodology. You saw that host. I guess depending on how quickly you block that entire network, you might
right,
lose
exactly.
some hosts.
Right, exactly. So it's yeah. So the reason they do it is there's a lot of utility.
Mm-hmm.
You see it just a few scans and then you shut them down for the rest of your 16.
Okay, yeah, I have a very short question. Great work, thanks a lot. I'm wondering if you also looked at the IP address selection mechanisms that the scanners have, so like sequential order, random order.
So in most cases, it was random. We don't necessarily know how they were creating a random distribution, but in very few cases, we see like a monotonically increasing series.
Okay, thanks.